Good morning and welcome. Here we are in what the church calls ordinary time, but we know that no time is ordinary with the gift of our miraculous God. A special hello to you today as you've come together to worship and also stay for the spring congregational meeting, we hope. That will be immediately after our worship service today, and the handouts are at the back of the sanctuary. And so immediately following our benediction, our congregational meeting will begin. We hope you can stay for that. Are there any other announcements that I might have missed today? If not, then let us. This week I had a longtime Presbyterian ask me, why do some people get to make the sign of the cross and we don't? And I said, well, nobody stopping you from making the sign of the cross. It's not like you don't get to. It's just simply a tradition in other Christian denominations. And there's nothing wrong with making the sign of the cross. It's simply an embodied practice. But sometimes we forget that we do have an embodied faith. We have these beautiful bodies, a gift from God. And so let us now pay attention to our bodies, the gift that they are. And if you do want to make the sign of the cross, you're perfectly welcome to. But I would ask you to take a deep breath in. Feel the Spirit within you flowing through this sacred Christ-soaked world. And as you exhale, exhale all that does not serve God's purpose of love. And let us begin with our call to worship. We call on the Holy One as long as we live. What shall we return to the Holy One for God's bounty to us?
With love and laughter, we praise the Holy One.
What shall we return to the Lord, Holy One, for God's bounty to us?
With the giving of our salvation and offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we praise the Holy One.
What shall we return to the Holy One for God's bounty to us?
With the fruit of our worship and the fruit of our eyes, we praise the Holy One.
Amen. I invite you to rise and embody your spirit as we sing our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Let us pray together. Gracious God of grace, we give you thanks for love that transcends our shortcomings, that greets us with mercy. Plant seeds in us that will stretch our faith in you and in ourselves. Nurture us to live miraculous lives. Let our faith and our work join with your power to make us fruitful despite our limitations, doubts, and fears. Amen. Gracious ones, you may receive the nourishment and encouragement of God to be fruitful even when the Holy One amazes us beyond expectation and dream. God is with us in season and out of season. We are to expect an abundant and bountiful harvest to witness God's grace at work in and through us. Amen. Let us join together in saying one expression of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love.
Peace be with you.
Someone said this morning, the Knicks won last night. Does that mean anything to anybody? I don't know. Audrey and I were watching The Count of Monte Cristo. That's what we were doing. It's on PBS. So we didn't pay any attention to the game. And the reason is that I haven't watched pro basketball since 1973. Because in 1973, the Knicks won the championship. And on the starting five of the Knicks team was a forward by the name of Bill Bradley. Doesn't mean anything to anybody, right? Nobody's ever heard of him. You, Roy, have you ever heard? Anyway, he was a great player in his day, All-American at Princeton, captain of the Olympic team that won a gold medal in Tokyo. Bill Bradley and I grew up together in a small town in Missouri. He's one of my oldest friends. So I know somebody famous. He's not as famous as he used to be, but he's still somewhat famous. He was a senator for three terms from New Jersey, ran for president, but picked the wrong person to run against, Al Gore, for the nomination, and Al Gore won the nomination, and Bill's political career was kind of over at that point. We are still in touch. So anyway, I had the joy of growing up with a great American and a great basketball player and a great politician. So if he starts playing again, I'll watch the Knicks, but... I lost interest. So we gather today to pray. In the New Testament, we are told to pray for all people. That means everybody, right? And then it says, even kings and rulers pray for everyone. No one gets left out. No one is outside of God's grace who needs prayer, and we all need it. So we come together to pray. Especially let us remember Jane Chappelle as she recovers after two bouts of hospitalization. And Sandy is here today. Where are you? In the back row. And I know that, Sandy, you're in the middle of your treatments. So good to see you. We just hope and pray that these will be days where you will feel the strength and healing of God's presence. Certainly there are others that we would want to pray for today. I get in my inbox every Thursday or Friday a thing called the World in Prayer dot, from worldinprayer.org. If you're ever interested, you can look it up and you can get what I get. And it's basically an article about all of the places in the world that need prayer. Places of violence and war and floods and droughts, political upheaval, and all other things. And I just want to real quickly highlight this 2.5 pages here of places that we need to pray for. But just to highlight just a couple of them. This is a time to pray for the end to violence and oppression and bullying and abuse for all of God's marginalized people and groups. This is Deafblind Awareness Month, so we remember those living with physical and developmental limitations. This is June is Brain Injury Month, and so we are aware that many elders, seniors, are abused. There are many seniors who are in places where they are abused. And so we pray for those whose physical abilities have been lost and memory has been lost. And so we remember them. Now, this is intergenerational awareness time in June. So we remember that there are many generations. We need to love each other across the generations, talk to each other, play together, worship together, learn from each other across the generations. In Canada, this is National Indigenous History Month. And so there are prayers for those who have had their lives destructed, their languages banned, their cultures and customs erased. June 20th is World Refugee Day. We remember there are millions, 43 million people without a place who are displaced, sometimes because of war, famine, or whatever. And so we pray for refugees who travel and for all of their needs, particularly that they would find a welcome. June 27th is Canadian Multicultural Day. And so the article says, we lament historic abuses of power that include Chinese, Japanese, Black, Jewish, Ukrainian, Eastern European, and French communities in the Canadian provinces that have been in danger and abuse. And then finally, June is, according to this article, a time to go outside and enjoy nature and the wonder of God's delight. And so this is a time when Recreation and Parks Month occurs. World Environment Day, June 5th. World Oceans Day, June 8th. We commend to your care the waters, lands, and animals entrusted to our stewardship. And finally, it says, thank you for gifting us with this earth where we can roam and play, laugh and sing, walk and run. May it remain here for generations to come, so that they may sit in the shade of trees which we have planted for them. I know that's a long list, but that sort of gives us an idea of this great big world. It's the world is more than us. The world is bigger than our little place. And maybe this will help us to enlarge our vision and let our hearts be enlarged as well as we pray for everyone. So let us pray. Oh God, in patience and in hope, we offer our prayers to you. For all who walk in your way, for those in the pews and those in the pulpits, for those at home and on the streets, for all who ponder your promises in their hearts, for all who carry good news into the world, we rejoice with joy and singing. We pray for the nations and their leaders, that eyes may be opened and ears unstopped, that your peace and justice will break forth in every land, in all the world. We pray for this community and this congregation and all who live here among us, for each member of the body, but also for friend and stranger, for parents and children, for brothers and sisters, widow and orphan. Strengthen weak hands and make firm feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. And now in silence, we lift up those names before us today. For Jane, for Sandy, for those that we know and love, whom we carry in our hearts this moment. O God, who sets the prisoners free and who gives us each a song to sing, we bring our prayers to you in the gracious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And as he taught his disciples, so we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. And I was just thinking, say a little prayer for the family in Sheets right before I came here. I had to stop on my way from Mount Nebo to Sheets, and there was a little boy just puking his guts up inside the bathroom, you could hear, and his sweet young parents are standing outside and looked like they were going to go to the ball game. And I've never been a parent, but I can't imagine the pain of a parent. It seems like parents must wish they could take on their kids' pain. And I just saw this exhausted mom and dad and heard the little boy. So wherever you are, little boy and family, I hope that you are well. Pray for even people we don't know. And now I invite you to rise and sing with me our hymn of meditation, Number 655, What Shall I Render to the Lord? Please be seated. And would our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering?
This morning's reading is from Isaiah 35, 1 through 2. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. This is the reading.
Thank you, Miss Lynn. Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, I was sitting with a friend who has just received shoulder replacement surgery. And I've never had that. Have any of you had shoulder replacement surgery? It does not sound like fun. It does not. But prior to the surgery, she was in so much pain. And now, following the surgery, she's still in so much pain. There was something that went wrong, so they had to go back in, and kind of like what Jane's experiencing, you know, the two surgeries. And she's just exhausted. And then the doctor had to give her this word of comfort, this word of advice. The doctor actually said to her, patience is part of the prescription. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I'm sure this doctor has performed a ton of shoulder replacement surgeries. I wouldn't know how to do it. But I bet that there's not one of us that doesn't realize that that probably was less than helpful to say to this woman, patience is part of the prescription. About as helpful as those sayings like, look on the bright side and cheer up. It could be worse. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Or how about this one? Bloom where you're planted. You seen that on t-shirts? I know it's meant to be a motivator, but one very dear school counselor, she was talking to me about that phrase in this past school year, and she said, Ing, we tell these kids to bloom where they're planted, and some of them are planted in, well, I can't repeat what she said, but you can imagine. Some kids, some people are in some pretty tough soil. Not in any soil right now. And so blooming where you're planted, and in our short scripture from Isaiah today, we have a poetic word of comfort from the prophet Isaiah to the Judeans. And they are in uncomfortable soil. They've lost everything, their temple, their homes, their freedom. Later on in this chapter, they'll be described as having weak knees, weak hands, feeble knees, and fearful hearts. Their situation is such that no future seems possible, and yet here they are given this vision, these words of hope. They're told that in the wilderness, in the desert, there is life. Indeed, there is growth. That the crocus will blossom out of the barren place. They'll be singing. Now, I would imagine that most of us haven't spent a lot of physical time in the desert. So we need to think about how these words would have landed with their original audience. The Judeans, they knew the harsh reality of barren, rocky wilderness. Certainly how it compared to the lushness of places like Sharon and Lebanon. These people also saw the literal burning of their agricultural lifelines. They watched armies salt their fields, cut down their trees. They would break their water cisterns to destroy the will of a community. And this promise of abundance and blossoming, well, for them to believe in that, that was a daring act of hope and faith. Much like your average person in Iran today. Reports have come out, and we learned at first that many normal, everyday Iranians had hoped that the outside pressure would put an end to their oppressive governmental regime. But now, as the war continues on, they're devastated by civilian casualties, by the damage to their country's infrastructure, and their despotic government has tightened restrictions. And so where does their hope lie? And while God's people in cities in our country and across the world may never have been to a geographic desert, the human-made and systemic evils of poverty and racism and food and medical care scarcity, they've created a wilderness where flourishing growth seems unlikely, if not impossible. And each of us, I submit that we've experienced enough to know that the desert wilderness can exist in rural spaces, the mid-century modern home, in a mansion, anywhere, when illness, depression, violence, despair seem to take hold. So how then does this blooming where you're planted take place then? Transparently, I tell you, it was not easy for me to come up with any kind of answers this week, as I feel locked in desert wilderness like many of us do. But what I did find, and what I'm trying to continue to do and to suggest to all of us, is that we try, by looking to our loving God, even when it seems sometimes as if God is silent or absent. Because we have these sacred promises, first given to a broken people in Judea. These words, known and loved by Jesus of Nazareth himself. And then these words were looked to for comfort by his followers after his execution and death. And they're still read today. They're clung to today. We hear them during Advent as we wait. We too have examples of flourishing in this wilderness, of times when love is victorious over hate, God's people who act in groups and alone for equity, for justice. And we cling to the gratefulness for the many gifts from God all around us, for doctors and peacemakers and cleaners and artists and children and old folks and each other. And we work, and we wait. The driest desert in the world, the Atacama Desert, it's in northern Chile, and it can be filled with more than 200 types of flowers in the spring. It's a grand desert bloom, they call it. Yellow and purple and pink and white and red blooms fill the mountains, if the conditions are just right. But even when these conditions are not met, there is always life in this desert. Its climate and its geography, they're often compared to Mars. but life is still there. I didn't know about cactus nurse plants that provide shade for the delicate seeds near them. And larger shrubs on the coast trap moisture from fog off the ocean, and that is passed along to provide hydration for other species. And these reminders of the holy, they're reminders of the blooming that is always taking place. And when we talk about God's plan, God has one plan. And that's for the blooming and the flourishing of all of God's beloved. And so we wait and we work and we have the audacity to believe that God's plan will come true. May it be so. Please rise in body or spirit as we sing verses 1 and 5 of Jesus Shall Reign Wherever the Sun.
Benediction together, and following that, we'll move to the beginning of our congregation. And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.